During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Tuesday, September 14, 2021. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. What a wild game last night to wrap up week one of the NFL season. The Ravens and the Raiders go to overtime. And if you went to bed early, I'm not going to try to explain to you what happened. You're just going to have to go back and watch the final 5 minutes of regulation and then watch overtime, because that was too much for me to comprehend. Bottom line is the Raiders won 33-27 in overtime, which if you watch the first quarter, the first quarter and a half, you would be quite surprised, and then shut it off. You'd be quite surprised after Baltimore raced out to a 14-0 lead, and it looked like the Raiders had nothing for them. But, I mean, one of the wilder final 5 minutes in overtimes you'll see. The Raiders won that game a couple of times, it looked like. The Ravens, I don't know what to think about the Ravens. I mean, clearly they were going to be damaged by the injury to Marcus Peters. Their top two running backs going into the season gone, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. I don't think either one of those injuries. Well, you know what? J.K. Dobbins was going to be a stud this year. He was, I think, going to have a huge breakout year. And guess what? I think Gus Edwards would have as well. We'll see. We'll see what they end up with Williams and Murray and the rest of the group of running backs they now have to replace J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. But Marcus Peters, I think, is a far more damaging loss, and I think you saw that last night. They could have used Marcus Peters several times in that game, as there were wide receivers running wide open, including the final play of the game where Zay Jones, the defensive backs ran into each other, and that allowed him to basically be wide open. But boy, I mean, I don't know, play to the end of the game, the defensive back, when did he start running? About halfway through that route, he stopped. Maybe, you know what, guess what? Maybe you get there, maybe you don't. I mean, Derek Carr threw a lollipop up in the air because there's nobody there, you know, and it took a while to get there. Even on that last drive where the Raiders had to kick a 55-yard field goal, it's like, Ravens, what are you doing? What are you doing? If I was a Ravens fan, glad I'm not, but if I was, I would not have been in love with the effort that I saw from my defense at the end of regulation and into overtime. That was, you can look at it two different ways. Number one, the Ravens are going to be pissed off and they're going to feel like their backs are against the wall and they can't start 0-2, and you're going to get the best shot that they have, which still probably isn't enough to beat the Chiefs on Sunday night in Baltimore. Or Baltimore is just, this cloud's going to hang over them all week long. That's a tough loss to come back from. And like I said, that defense doesn't look the same. And Marcus Peters was a huge playmaker for that defense. And that just, and Lamar Jackson, I mean, well, you know, somebody must have told him it was the playoffs there at the end. I was going to tweet that, but you know, that's piling on. I don't need that. I save it for the radio. But hey, look, Lamar Jackson can do incredible things with his legs that other quarterbacks can't do. He cannot do incredible things with his arm, but you have got to hold on to the football. two back-breaking fumbles. Back-breaking fumbles by Lamar Jackson that helped hand the game to the Raiders. Look, I don't even know. I mean, with 3:44 left, Carr threw a touchdown pass to Darren Waller to tie it. And so if you just started watching right there, you got your money's worth. Then the Ravens drove down and kicked a 47-yard field goal with 37 seconds left. And then, I don't know, what did you guys think of the Ravens' defense or lack thereof to allow the Raiders, what was it, two plays?
Yep.
Two plays?
Two pass plays. Well, I mean, they clocked it twice, but yeah. Two
but, I mean, to get themselves in position to kick the...
Two passes.
Credit Daniel Carson, 55-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. That's not nothing. That's a hell of a clutch kick to put the game in overtime. But it's like the Ravens just like lay down and let it happen. I don't know. What the hell were they doing? What was that? And then into the overtime, it looked like the Raiders had won the game with a dramatic touchdown pass to end the game to Bryan Edwards, and then they. I feel like for the people watching it, you know what happened, but I think there's a lot of people that missed that last night.
Yeah,
so
sure.
They call it a touchdown. The team's coming on the field. I mean, Derek Carr's hugging Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson going up to everyone. You know, good game, helmet off. It's like they mentally checked out. And you see the replay right away that it's not a touchdown. His knee was down. So the ball should be at the 1 yard line. And look, you don't take anything for granted, especially if it's the Raiders. The Raiders have a special way of shooting themselves in the foot. And again, this is overtime, and so if you can keep them out of the end zone and just hold them to a field goal, then you've got a chance to come back and win the football game. But it took quite a long time, I guess, to get the players on both teams to realize, hey, the game's not over, by the way. The game ain't over, right? And so they finally get everyone back on the sidelines, and here come the Raiders. First down, quarterback sneak, get stopped. And then I promise you, I'm sitting there watching the game with Phil. I said, you know what? You never know. There could be a holding call. There could be a false start, whatever. I mean, this is not, you can't take this for granted. Bam, false start. Move them back, and then they never score. Threw an interception. It looked like a pass that could have been caught. Then it ricocheted off one of the Ravens defenders' helmets, went up in the air. Ravens intercepted it. And you're thinking the Raiders had the, first of all, they were celebrating, and both teams were on the field congratulating each other for a heck of a game on Monday Night Football to kick the season off. And then you have to bring everyone back. And no, he wasn't in the end zone. And then they're at the 1 yard line, first and goal at the 1 yard line. All they need to do is punch it in, and the game's over, and they win. And they don't even get a field goal. They don't even get a field goal. So now the Ravens can just take this damn thing and just win it with a field goal. At the very least, if you're the Raiders, although I do think, like, fourth down, I'd have gone for it at that point. You know, I wouldn't, if they didn't get it in on second down and third down, I'd have gone for it on a fourth down. I wouldn't have been interested in kicking a field goal and seeing if the Ravens can match that or the Ravens could drive down and score a touchdown and win the game. And so I don't know that they ever would have tried a field goal. But at the very, very least, you got to come away with a field goal. You got to come away with a field goal. And they came away with 0 points. So you're thinking, wow, this is going to be one of the most brutal losses ever for the Raiders. And there's quite a few of them in recent years. And then the Ravens get the ball. And Lamar Jackson just fumbles it away. He got hit, but they fumbled the game away. Right? He fumbled the game right to the Raiders. There's no other way you can describe it. Give credit to Oakland for making the play, but guess what? Hold on to the football. It's your job. Oh, but he's trying to hold on to the football. It's your job. He lost him the game. Lamar Jackson lost him the game. So, I mean, it was like the best, worst game I've seen. Or the worst, best game. I don't know. I mean, I didn't turn that game off and think, boy, those are two Super Bowl contenders. Those are two of the top teams in the AFC. And again, for the Ravens, you know, I kind of get it. For a while, hey, they played, they came out fast. It looked like they were going to win the game handily. But it's very difficult to overcome the amount of injuries that they've had in a short amount of time and be ready to roll. And again, you can lose running backs. You can replace running backs. And again, I thought J.K. Dobbins was going to have a huge breakout year. I thought Gus Edwards, when he became the guy, you know, Gus Edwards is going to have 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. That's why I took him in the fourth round of my draft. And that's why I'm pissed off that I took him in the fourth round of my draft. But the competitive pricks overcame that because they also have Darren Waller, who received 47 targets last night. And also, did you see how many targets he had last night?
Yeah.
For in real life, Jake, how many targets do you think Darren Waller had?
Just off top, 16.
The top of your head is short by 3, 19 targets. they seem to want to go to him.
Well, I don't blame them. It's a good method.
Hey, they stuck with it too because they were 1 for 7 on their first 7 targets to him.
19 targets. Well, good, but in retrospect, maybe maybe target Brian Edwards a little bit earlier in the game because it seemed like he was a playmaker.
Yeah.
Right? All of a sudden, at the end of the game, Brian Edwards took the game over. Like, where's he been all night? He ended up with 4 catches for 81 yards, and all of it was there at the end of the fourth quarter and into the overtime. I'm with you. Target him repeatedly. Go Waller. And I do like Darren Waller because he has an incredible story. And I thought that was because I'm going back and forth between the Manning cast and the regular broadcast. And I didn't want to spend the whole night on the Manning cast because I like Lewis Riddick, and I want to hear what they have to say. And so if you were all night on the Manning cast, then you missed the really good segment where they talked about Max Crosby and Darren Waller, and Max Crosby revealing that during the pandemic and everything else, he stopped drinking, right, and had to seek treatment, and had wanted to change his life, and Darren Waller had already gone through that, and Darren Waller had motivated him and inspired him. It was a really interesting story that they told. Were you watching at that point?
No.
Jake, did you see that? I mean, it was really...
I did not.
They spent... And it's kind of hard. It's obviously, it's hard to tell a story like that during the middle of a game.
Right.
Yeah. Right? But they did a very good job. It made you have a very strong appreciation for what those two guys have been through and how they've put themselves in a position to lead healthier lives. After, you know, battling what they had gone through in the past of alcoholism and everything else. And so I thought they did a nice job on the broadcast of presenting that and talking about that, because that's not an easy thing to do during a game. And a lot of people, I feel like everybody was watching the Manning cast.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I was trying to find, I mean, you see something on Twitter and you flip back and forth and it's like, I don't want to miss this. And then, you know, Kelsey being on the Manning cast and, you know, Russell Wilson. And it was an interesting night of Monday Night Football viewing.
Right.
Yeah, I happened to miss that, and I'm going to have to go back and watch that, because that definitely
it was
my interest.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And so, so just going back and forth, and that was, I liked Darren Waller.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that was just, like, I don't know, that was so mind-boggling, and then I went right to sleep, and I still don't know what my main takeaways are from that game. Like, I don't know what to expect from the Ravens. Clearly, they still have a bunch of talent on the team, and if they play their A game, they could beat anybody. But boy, there were just some weird moments in the fourth quarter and then the overtime where it's like, what are they doing? What defense was that? What kind of effort was that? What the hell? It almost felt like. The defense went back out there and they got the stop, but it was a freak turnover. The ball went right through the Raiders receiver's hands and then it ricocheted off a helmet and then the guy caught it, and so it was more like the Raiders puking all over themselves there at the 1 yard line. But But then when like when the Ravens had the balls, like Lamar Jackson had already mentally checked out. It was such a weird, I don't know, like a weird vibe to it. I don't know if you guys picked up on it. It was like, I mean, it's got to be hard once you think the game's over and then to try to start the game again. And I mean, hell, I don't know. But then that, what was that final play? That was like the weirdest, most anticlimactic long touchdown pass to end the game.
It's a weird time to go full out blitz.
Yeah, and then with cover zero.
But that's what they do. Yeah. And guess what? Guess who knew it? Gruden knew it. Carr knew it. Eli Manning knew it. Russell Wilson knew it. Peyton Manning knew it. Look, they have a certain style. They have a certain way that they play defense that's been very successful for them. But I do think there's a problem when you get to a point that you're so predictable in a huge situation that everyone on the face of the earth knows what you're going to do. And you got three championship quarterbacks watching it in the Manning cast saying, oh, here's what they're going to do. Here it is. And clearly Carr knew what he was going to do because he just kind of steps back and throws an arm, just throws it up in the air. And there was no, and guess what? Also, you might have to adjust things if you just lost your best corner and your best playmaker in the secondary a few days before, right? Maybe that's a little different if Marcus Peters is back there. I don't know. Maybe not. Who knows? All I can tell you that I would that whoever was going to lose that game was going to be a punch in the gut, kicking the balls, and a slap in the face. And it probably feels like all three of those things right now. Right. Very good. And so if you're asking me, hey, what do you expect from the Ravens on Sunday night? I don't know. No idea. What a wild card that is. Who knows? I can expect the Chiefs to win because that's what they do against the Ravens. But do the Ravens show up pissed off and play their A game? Maybe. Do the Ravens show up and still have a hangover suffering from the kind of loss that they just had last night and they get rolled by the Chiefs? Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. But I can tell you this. They played a physical game of almost five quarters where they had to travel across the country on Monday night. And now they got a short week and playing an overtime game. And they got to get ready for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. I can promise you that ain't good. You could look at the Ravens and say, it will be extremely painful for you. Is that right, Jake? Not for us, for them.
That's right.
So we'll see what happens. I just, man, oh, man. What a mind-boggling game last night to wrap up one hell of a week one of the NFL season. We'll talk more about that after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP and 38 The Spot.
If I pull that off, will you die?
It would be extremely painful.
You're a big guy.
For you.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll talk to Jamie Bluma coming up at 7 o'clock. 7:30, we'll hear from Andy Reid, who spoke to the media yesterday from Arrowhead Stadium. Gary Lezak will give you the forecast. Former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter at 8:05. Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest at 9:05. Last night, you could watch the alternate broadcast of Monday Night Football on ESPN2 or ESPN Plus if you're streaming, of the Manning cast. It was Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, and they had several guests, including Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce. And so even though I'm never in a hurry to hear from the Mannings, I did watch a good portion of the Manning cast last night going back and forth because, again, I like Louis Riddick and I like to hear what he has to say. And so the Manning cast was very entertaining. Travis Kelce was as good as you would expect him to be. But biggest takeaway, if he wants it, I know his playing days are still going strong and he's a long ways away from retirement. But Russell Wilson can be in any booth that he wants to whenever he wants. I thought Russell Wilson was incredible to listen to. in that fourth quarter and into the overtime. I thought he was fantastic. It's no surprise, but he was just terrific. And listening to him talk football with both the Manning brothers, even though I feel like for the final half hour of the Manning cast, that they muted Eli Manning's microphone, and it was just Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson. But let's listen to a couple of nuggets from Travis Kelce when he was on with the Mannings earlier in the game. Jake, which one do you want to play first? Should we talk about Kelce and Patrick Mahomes coming up?
Yeah, with the halftime discussion, I guess, is what he was asked.
Do you...
Yep.
Did you...
Clean it up.
Okay, well, I kind of didn't want you to.
Well, I'm going to for the television viewers.
You know what? The television viewers appreciate that.
Yeah. No, you're okay. Welcome.
No, you don't worry about the radio.
I don't worry about the radio listeners at all.
This is because Travis Kelce did curse on the Manning cast. So let's hear it.
What was the halftime talk? Y'all get, like, go over like one, like Travis is gonna make up some routes. He's gonna get open. We're gonna home scramble and just throw a long one.
Best is right before the play. If it's right before the play, I'll look at Pat and we'll just. You give him the eyes like, yeah, I'm about to make some shit up right here, but I'm about to make some stuff up right here, man.
Eli caught it.
I know what they're in.
I said no one could draw that route.
So that was Travis Kelce giving you a little bit of unique insight into the relationship between him and Patrick Mahomes. Now, as you know, who do the Chiefs play on Sunday?
The Ravens.
Okay.
I know.
You knew that, didn't you?
Yes.
All right. Let's hear Travis Kelce talking about what he knows he'll face both of these opponents. He knows he's going to see the Ravens. He knows he's going to see the Raiders a couple of times. Here's Travis Kelce, more Travis Kelce from the Manning cast last night.
It's a signals, looking for calls. Tell us kind of what you
mean. Yeah, especially if it's a divisional game or if it's a game we got coming up where we play the Raiders obviously twice a year, and then we're playing Baltimore here soon. So, I mean, I'm looking at everything. I'm trying not to, you know, get too technical with it just because we got the Chargers, I believe, this week. Actually, I don't even know. I think we might even play Baltimore next week. I'm lost in the season already.
I can tell you're real worried about.
Hey, I'll say that Travis Kelce was so wrapped up in his preparation for the Cleveland Browns. And then yesterday was an off day. That's laser-like focus, and it's one day at a time. Don't look too far ahead. Just worry. Win the day, as Chris Kleiman says.
Week one.
Right?
That's all he was focused on.
One game at a time, baby.
Week one.
Right? They're going to get to the Chargers at some point. He's right. Yeah,
they play them.
They play them all. You know?
Twice.
So... Chargers. He said he knew that the Ravens were coming up soon.
That's right.
He knew it.
That's correct.
And then I think we got the Chargers. Well, maybe might even play Baltimore. And then he said, "Like, I'm not sure." The right answer was in there. That's what you need to wait. The right answer was in there somewhere.
Should have stuck with soon.
Nah.
Soon was good.
Nah.
Hey,
yeah.
And then play the Chargers soon too.
Yeah, it's enough. All the odds. What's soon?
Right. That's what I mean.
You're going to play them all soon.
Right. It's all
soon.
Relative.
This season, soon.
Soon.
Mm-hmm. That's soon. I could make a case. Hey, week 17, soon. That's soon.
Sure it is.
You know, right around the corner.
Up.
You'll never know.
I'll be here before you know it.
So, you know. Did you guys like that?
Loved it.
You know, that's Killer Trav right there. There's Travis Kelce on Sundays. That's Killer Trav right there.
Kelce.
Right. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. So here's another story coming out of the Chiefs win over the Browns. The Browns center, J.C. Treader, said he believes that Chiefs assistant coach Greg Lewis should be disciplined by the NFL for his role in a skirmish on the sideline with Cleveland safety Ronnie Harrison Jr., who was ejected from the game. Harrison was ejected in the first quarter after he forcefully pushed Lewis, who shoved the Browns safety after coming over to help Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, he was stepping on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And it was, is shove the right word? Is that how you describe it?
Pushed him off him?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
He gave him the forearm. He pushed him
pushed
off him.
Pushed him off him? I mean, I don't know.
How would you describe it? What did he do?
He moved him off of stepping on Edwards-Helaire. I mean, he was stepping on Edwards-Helaire, and he pushed him off the top of Edwards-Helaire.
Nate, how do you describe it?
I don't really know the definition between a push and a shove. I know that Mace from De La Soul said I'd rather know a shover than a pusher because a pusher's a jerk. But I think that's a line about drug dealing.
I think it is, too.
Greg Lewis right now is like, why are you? What did I do?
But it's a push. I had a shove. I don't know. He pushed him off. It was a kind of a forearm shiver. Lewis kind of used the forearm, you know, like the arm bar type thing. But whatever.
Removed him.
To me, he probably should get disciplined for that. And sometimes in life, you've got to take action that you're going to get disciplined for, and it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, like in soccer. Well, shoot, I'm not going to do soccer. Let's do like in school. Sometimes you might tell your kid, hey, you got to stand up for yourself. You might get in a little bit of trouble, but if you think it's worth it, sometimes you got to take your punishment.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for him, it's like what Andy Reid said. This doesn't happen on our sideline.
Sometimes you got to stand up for your guy.
Yeah. I might say, you know.
Don't start fights.
The league probably should do something just like, hey, we don't want coaches and players getting into it on sidelines. So here's a fine, whatever. Here's your punishment.
You probably shouldn't put your hands on the player.
Yeah.
Just a rule of thumb. If you're a coach, you probably. But guess what? Sometimes rules need to be broken.
Yeah.
And he broke that rule.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm going to take my medicine here because I'm going to stand up for my guy.
He could have hurt him worse. I mean, who knows how long he could have stood on him. And, you know.
Treader said that I expect the coach gets held to the same standard, if not a higher standard, than Ronnie. Being the first one in there and being a coach, putting his hands on an opposing player, I don't think there's any room for that in this league.
Unless if you're being a dirty player and you're stepping on another player purposely.
Yeah, what does Treader have to say about that? Is there any room for one of his defensive players to stink? And so can a Chiefs, if there's a rematch, can one of the Chiefs defensive players step on Kareem Hunt or step on Nick Chubb? Is that cool then?
No.
We good?
You should be disciplined too.
Why?
That's a dirty play. I mean, you don't know intent, but you know action. And his action was his foot was right in the middle of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he had no intention of getting off of him anytime soon.
Well, Myles Garrett had a lot to say after the game, didn't he? He said he should get the same treatment that our players get. He should be tossed out of the game just like Ronnie.
I'm not too interested in what Myles Garrett has to say about behavior on the field.
Right.
I'm just not.
Myles Garrett probably should sit that one out.
Yeah.
Right? Kevin Stefanski said it's the oldest thing in football. The game officials always see the second guy, and Ronnie has to show some poise there and not retaliate. There you go. Or not step on the opposing running back. Is that
the second guy?
It's a stupid thing, too, because the refs didn't see the second guy.
Correct.
The video did.
New York. They went back to New York, and New York's like, wait, hold on. That guy was stepping on him, and the coach pushed him off, and then he...
Then Stefanski says, well, I do think that any contact that came from Ronnie was incidental, talking about him stepping on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If you watch the tape, it's pretty obvious he's getting collisioned as he's trying to get off their boundary.
No, he was.
But that doesn't excuse him from retaliating. You can't do that. It's something we all know. But the game officials see the second guy, not the first guy.
Well, no, the officials.
But again, so he's just.
Well, who's the second guy?
Right, he's just wiping that away. Like, oh, he didn't mean to say. Oh, sure he did.
Yeah,
of course he did.
Well, guess what? Even if he didn't, you're still stepping on him, and you wouldn't in any hurry to get off of him.
Well, and he got thrown out of the game.
Right,
so.
And if you compare the two incidents, you know, the two pushes or the shoves. Like Greg Lewis's was way lighter. He forearm removed him off the guy, and then, you know, Cleveland's linebacker two hands shoved him and almost in the face. Like that, yeah. I mean, that,
his was much more violent. His was much more violent than Lewis. Lewis is just trying to get him off of his player.
You made Lebo mad when you said in the face.
It was in the throat. Yeah, right.
It was almost a throat punch.
It was right in the chin area.
So, Todd! I
mean, take it, Todd. You can't.
Where are you,
no
Todd?
Voice today, Todd.
You got him right in the throat. Right in the throat.
Todd said it was in the chest, and I disagreed with him.
Chest is connected to the throat, I guess. But yeah. To me, it's more throat. Than
I think he got him somewhere. You know, it looked like he took his mask off. Like, he got him around the bottom of the chin, right? Yeah, whatever.
Nate went to you more from Myles Garrett, so I just sent that to you. So you want to?
Oh, great, yeah.
You want to hear a nice chunk?
How's he feel about swinging a helmet at someone's head? You know, trying to kill someone on the field.
Well, he's speaking from experience. Hey, you know, this shouldn't happen. Trust me, I did it. Yeah, I mean, you know what? There's something to that. I take more advice from people that have made mistakes and have gone through things in life as opposed to someone who, you know, declares himself perfect and hasn't made mistakes. I don't really look to take advice from someone like that. So maybe Myles Garrett is trying to...
Okay.
I don't think that's the case, but I'm just trying to...
I agree with that. Know. We've all made mistakes. That one was... I mean, but you know, he could have killed a person on the field with that mistake last year.
Let's hear what Myles Garrett had to say, because he was quite talkative after the game.
I mean, I don't want to take away from the greatness of those two players, but he was under duress. He threw it up. It wasn't a good ball. But, I mean, those guys make plays like that.
Okay, stop right there. We'll start that again. Just to let you know, again, that's Myles Garrett. Trying to explain away what happened on the 75-yard touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. And I'm going to go ahead and guess that by the frumpy look on Jake's face, he hadn't heard that yet. Because when he heard him say that wasn't a good ball, it seems like that didn't sit right with you just then. Jake, you want to respond to that part first? I want you to. You clearly had a reaction.
I don't really.
You had a reaction to it. I just saw it, and you said,
"Well, how much? Define good ball."
You have to ask Myles Garrett. You know what?
It looked like a pretty damn good ball to me.
You know how I define a good ball? Ended up as a 75-yard touchdown.
Right,
that's
right,
a real good ball.
I mean,
that ball.
What?
That's a good ball.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, well,
what would Gunther Cunningham say?
He would say this.
Good balls. Right. We'll play. It's good. Start over. Play it again now. Keep your emotions in check.
Let's take a break.
Just a break from the show for good, or commercial break,
I'll come
or what?
Back. I have his raw audio. I don't like that music behind it.
The music kind of makes you feel good about things.
I have his raw audio. I'll find the cut, and we'll come back and play it on his thoughts on the skirmish.
But I want to hear more about that too. I want to hear him talking about how that wasn't a good ball. Don't get frustrated. I want to hear how the Browns explain this away. We'll take a break.
Yeah.
The music bed makes it fun. No.
Bat that down. It might be a different game.
If you do bat it down, it might be a different game.
That music is loud. What's going?
Yeah, I don't know.
It
annoys me.
Turn it off.
We'll come back. We have it raw.
If you bat that down, it might be a different play. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Really?
Yeah, maybe it wouldn't have been a 75-yard touchdown.
Talk to your defensive back.
Maybe it wouldn't have been a nail in your coffin.
Yeah, maybe if Mahomes doesn't elude you and you actually get hands on him in that play, maybe that's a different game. I don't know, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe if your quarterback doesn't puke the bed and throw an interception, then maybe it's a different game. Maybe it's a different game then, too. A lot of things could have made that a different game. But the bottom line was the Chiefs beat the Browns.
Maybe he's just been around doors too much. Could have, should have, would have.
There it is. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
I mean, I want to take away from the greatness of those two players, but he was under duress. He threw it up. It wasn't a good ball. But, I mean, those guys make plays like that. You know, we have to be a little bit more aware and bat that down. It might be a different game. But, those two are known for doing things like that. We just got to make those plays when they're up in the air like that. It's a 50-50 ball. We got to take that next time. Absolutely not. Honestly, I didn't see it when it happened. I didn't see it on film. I was just trying to get my guy out of there because I saw him. He was tangled up. And I saw him get pushed, and he pushed, and I was like, well, we don't need any of that for our team. We got to be smarter than that and try to get him out of the situation. But now he should get the same treatment that our players should get. He should be tossed out the game just like Ronnie.
Well, he wasn't, so there you go, Myles Garrett. A lot of, as Nate said, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Well, he should have been thrown out of the game. He wasn't. Well, could have batted down the ball. He didn't.
What I coulda, shoulda, woulda, who knows?
Yeah, Harrison did get thrown out of the game, and Mahomes did complete the pass to Tyreek Hill, and the Browns did lose to the Chiefs again, so those are all facts. Why there's no laughter there. It's just, that's what happened. There's no wouldas, there's no couldas, there's no shouldas.
What I coulda, shoulda, woulda, who knows?
So, they got that going for them. We will be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. We're going to have Jamie Bluma in studio. We've got him in studio right now. 7:30, we'll hear Andy Reid's comments from yesterday out at Arrowhead Stadium. Gary Lezak will give you the forecast. Mark Boerichter, former Chiefs wide receiver, at 8:05. We'll play some Big 12 sound for you from the Big 12 college football coaches. Also, another review of what happened on Monday Night Football, if we could figure out how to put that into words. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com at 9:05. Then at 9:30, more football. Football is here. You know what? So am I. On this Tuesday, September 14th, on Sports Radio 810 WHB.